You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
This podcast is being brought to you by Voyage AC.
The official fragrance of the White House.
I still can't believe it. Melanie must be pinching herself, huh?
I think we're all in shock. Imagine dignitaries from all over the world who visit the White House are going to leave with a gorgeous handmade Voyage AC candle.
Wow. But the best thing is you don't have to visit the White House or be a dignitary to get your own candle.
No, you don't. Voyage AC is your destination for candles and a plethora of other wonderful gifts like beachwear, diffusers, glamorous masks, face and body products. So how can our listeners find Voyage AC?
You can find everything on their website at www.voyageac.com. That's VoyageEtcie.com.
And as you know, Melanie is willing to give my friends and family discount to all of our listeners right now. That's 10% off everything you buy.
Yep. All you need to do is enter the only one at checkout.
That's right. All you have to do is enter the only one when you make your purchase. Voyage AC is an olfactory journey of candles, perfume, and organic beauty products.
This episode is being sponsored by Cute Booty Lounge.
You mean this cute booty is being sponsored by Cute Booty Lounge.
Honey, you look so good in those camo leggings.
Oh, thank you, honey. I got two pair because I love them so much. Cute Booty Lounge is made right here in the USA by women and for women. The company is incredible, female and minority owned.
And did you say that they fit every shape and size?
Yes, they do. And they also have these super cute patented scrunch butt pockets. Mm-hmm. But it's the thing is, I give you this snatch waist and this cute booty and they elongate your legs. Plus, if you're like me and you're in loungewear 90% of the time, these are the leggings for you. There's a cute booty style for everyone. No matter where your active life takes you, Cute Booty Lounge or CBL will comfortably dress you from head to toe. Whether you're running errands, headed to the gym, or having a night out, Cute Booty Lounge has you covered. Embrace your body. Love your booty.
And to make it even sweeter, head to cutebootylounge.com and enter the code THEONLYBOOTY to get 15% off your first order.
What? I think you need to say that again.
Head to cutebootylounge.com and enter the code THEONLYBOOTY to get 15% off of your first order.
Richard Robles, how are you?
I'm great. How about yourself, Laura?
We are doing really well.
We are, actually.
We heard a lot about you yesterday in Robert's episode. You know, Robert is the first African-American full face transplant recipient.
And the oldest.
Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to hear the story of the accident that burned, you know, over 75% of his body and the face transplant that he got afterward, and why he got it and what that was like. But you came up a lot in his story, so we really wanted to talk to you. This is actually something we've never done before, is to go back and source a subject from the story because we were so intrigued with him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I appreciate it.
Yeah. We're going to take just a quick break to tell you about a cool new product that Scott and I discovered, and we'll get back to our guest's amazing Only One story in just a minute.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
So, can you tell me about the night of August 5th, 2013?
Yeah, it was actually an off night. I was actually wrapping up a big project at LAX, actually Terminal 4. I had just finished building a six restaurant at the end of the Terminal 4.
Wow, and you're in construction?
I am.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a builder.
Okay.
And we had it all situated, so I was actually leaving early that day. We were working till about 4 o'clock every morning. For some reason, that night, I even can't remember the specific time, but I do know it was closer to midnight, 1 o'clock, somewhere mm-hmm. around there. And I actually took the 405 freeway every day to the 91 to Lake Elsinore. This particular day, I drove my wife's truck. And she had Christian radio across every single station.
Right.
So I was listening to K-Wave, and that what's so ironic is I was, you know, I had talked to Ricky about this before, was that message that was on at that particular time was a pastor by the name of Raul Reese. He was, this particular message was actually talking about how a lot of people claim to help their fellow man, and they say they want to do good, but nobody actually ever does it. So the message was literally, quite literally, do what it takes to help your fellow man.
Right.
And I missed my off-ramp because I was so into the podcast or the radio, you know, the station. And I missed it. So I decided to just keep going. I stayed on the 105, and then I went over to the 605. And as I was coming over the bridge, I literally, even it's on the police report, I actually thought that we were being bombed. I actually thought a missile had come across the freeway, because I'm high. I'm up on the overpass.
Right.
And I just see a flash of light and then a huge explosion. So I quite literally thought we were being bombed. I was looking around just to see if there was any more coming.
Right. So you were scared.
I was actually scared. And so I realized there wasn't anything else, and the closer I got, I saw there was another vehicle. So I parked. I actually pulled up too close to the accident, where I pulled up, got out of my truck, went running towards the accident, looked back at my truck, and realized I had parked over fire. So I ran back to the truck real quick, and I backed out of the fire. So now I'm, you know, 100 yards away, you know, maybe 75 yards away from the accident. And then I ran to Robert's car, but his car was completely engulfed. I actually could not see anything. So what I did is I ran around. I actually had to go into the freeway, and I went to the other car, which was the drunk driver who had hit him,
right,
and grabbed his pulse. Then that when I grabbed him, then I could hear him actually breathe. He actually mm-hmm. started breathing and snoring. He was asleep.
Mm.
So then
wow.
I he was asleep.
Heard, he was asleep.
And yeah, that's
wow.
That's normal.
He didn't get a scratch on him. He didn't get a scratch on him.
Oh.
So I heard something, and I just couldn't make it out. So I ran back to the first truck.
Yeah.
And turns out now I can see Robert flailing on fire. Went to the driver's side, tried to grab the handle, just, you know, out of, you know, mm-hmm. just grab the handle to open the door, right? Nothing. I grabbed it. It was so hot. I actually fell back in shock, got back up.
Wow.
Reached in. I cannot remember if I cut a seatbelt or if we pulled it off, but
so
I
the window was open.
The window was open. Okay. It was either opened or shattered.
Okay. Right. Right. Yeah.
I'm assuming it was shattered just because of the impact. Then reached in, grabbed Robert. Robert came out of the vehicle, fell on top of me, but popped right up like a football player. I mean, he just popped right back up, but then he was frozen. You know, he's in shock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was he on fire?
He was a little bit. I had to put his pants out just real, real light.
Okay.
And he stood up and I stood up with him, and then I actually tried to grab him by the small of his back, said, "Come on, sir, let's go." And he just yelled, "Hey, that hurts." And I was like, "Oh." I said, "Okay." I said, being in incidents, not quite this dramatic, but being in incidents similar to this, I was like, "You know, okay, excuse me, sir, what's your name?" And he said, "Robert." I said, "What's your last name?" He said, "Chelsea." I said, "Okay, Mr. Chelsea." I go, "My name, I'm Richard Robles." I go, "I'm here to help you. We got to get away from here this very second, or we're both going to die. But I'm not going to leave you here. So we got to move." And he's all like, "It hurts." So then I said, "All right, I'm going to grab your belt and I'm going to walk you."
Wow.
And he goes, "Okay." So I literally grabbed the front of his, you know, inside of his pant loop, mm-hmm. and then just kind of pulled him, and we walked. I walked backwards, and he took a very, you know, almost a stiff step all the way to my truck. And I sat on the bumper of my truck while he stood up, and I was just, you know, in shock myself.
Mm-hmm.
Did you actually call 911?
You know what? Somebody else on the other side of the freeway did call 911.
Did they?
I mm-hmm. called 911 after I got Robert to safety.
Right.
And the police report said that there was some crazy man running on the freeway.
Is that you?
That was me. I was running from one car to the other. You know? And after, believe it or not, you know, after I got Robert to the truck, I did go back around to the other guy just to make sure he was far enough away from the fire, which he was. Then I went and I just left him at that point. I said, "Okay, he's safe." So I went back to Robert.
Did you know what had happened at this point? Did you know that?
I did. Oh, at this point, I knew exactly what happened.
You knew that he slammed into him and that he was drunk. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I put it all together right away.
Yeah.
And then that's why the second time I went to check on him and knew he was safe, I was like, "Okay, you know, forget him." You know, going back to Robert. So I went back to Robert. By this time, there was a couple of other people who had pulled over, and I was just, you know, heartbroken. I didn't show it, but I was heartbroken.
For Robert, you were looking at this man saying, "Oh, wow."
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, his face was, the upper layers of his dermis were gone. His hands were melted. It was just bad. Now, one thing I do want to point out that I skipped. Before we started walking, he had asked me what happened. He said, what happened?
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, you were hit by and I told him straight up, you were hit by a drunk driver."
Mm-hmm.
He goes, and his exact words to me was, "Is the other guy okay?"
Mm.
Those were his first things.
Yeah.
He actually asked me, "Is the other guy okay?" And I said, "Yes, but we got to go."
Right. Yeah. We got to move.
Kindness seems to be his default.
Yes.
It is.
Shock, right? Even,
that's correct.
Even burnt and battered and having been in an explosion.
That is correct.
The kindness is still his default.
That's the thing. So I waited with him the whole entire time. And the fire department came first. Two fire rigs showed up. And I was a little upset. You know, I know the first responders, they work hard. But I had actually got their attention. And they said, "Hold on." And I was like, "I got the victim here." And they're all like, "Give me a second. We got to, you know, ascertain the situation and you know, find out what's going on. And I said, I get it, but you have a severely injured individual.
Right.
Nothing. Police department showed up. Two CHP guys showed up. They did the exact same thing. They ran right past me, even though I'm talking to them.
Wow.
So the second police car showed up, and the passenger, you know, officer got out of the car and had his flashlight and started running towards the, you know, he parked right, literally right next to my truck,
mm-hmm.
and started running towards the you know, the fire. And I literally grabbed his mag light.
Oh.
And I grabbed his mag light and kind of like, he almost fell backwards.
Uh-huh.
And he was pissed, obviously, yeah. right? You know, and I'm like, hey, I have a victim here. Everybody's ignoring me. I have the victim here. And he put his flashlight on Robert.
Yeah.
And his eyes, the police officer's eyes, just bugged out.
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't believe it.
Right. Right.
And he goes, oh my gosh. Those were his exact words. And he ran, got one of the paramedics or, you know, firefighters. And they came and right then instantly, everybody's on Robert.
Right. Right.
Then they, you know, they laid him down and checked his vitals, all that good stuff. And he was like, oh, that hurts, you know, because they're putting the blood pressure cuffs on him. And he was just not a happy camper. And he's all, can we hurry up?
Mm.
By this time, they drove him away. And I was like, hey, you know, do you know where he's going? And they're all, we don't know. And I said, okay, whatever. So the police officer, you know, the one who I had grabbed, you know, he was actually at this point, you know, very nice and calm. Mm-hmm. And he's all like,
right.
Hey. Can I get your statement? So I gave him the whole statement, and then he gave me his card and said, hey, you know, we're going to meet back with another CHP guy tomorrow. Can you meet us? And I said, yeah, of course. And that's how I ended up knowing Robert, is that tragic, you know,
yeah.
accident.
Yeah.
But I hadn't had any further contact. I didn't see him that night until the next day when the CHP officer went to the hospital and actually gave my card and my number to the family, and they
right.
called me.
And they called you.
And they said, you're definitely more than welcome to come. And when I got there, he was in a bad state. He had already flatlined once and resuscitated.
Mm. Mm.
But I had my whole family with me, and he had his family. I mean, he had such an amazing support group there.
Wow.
Lots of prayer, and I mean, it was pretty awesome. And that's how we became friends.
That is absolutely incredible. I'm in so much awe and admiration of you, Richard, for making sure that Robert got the attention that he needed.
I mean, for me, it started when he just got out of the car and ran towards the fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Most people would be like, whoa, let me call somebody.
Calling it in, yeah. But and actually, you know, starting the way you started with the message that you were receiving on the radio.
A little bit higher frequency kind
that,
of thing.
That caused you to miss your exit and find Robert. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, there's just.
I truly believe, and I don't like to over-spiritualize everything,
mm-hmm.
but I truly believe there was a reason.
Yeah.
Everything happened that night.
Yeah.
I truly believe that.
So Robert's journey was pretty publicized. Were you following along as he was going through these numerous surgeries? And
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was talking to him for a long time, you know, after he could speak daily. And then I was talking to Rachel, his wife, and then his daughter, Ebony, and his sister, Barbara, as well. I was talking to them quite often. Between the three of them, I was getting updates, you know, every other day.
Wow. That's so great.
Were you nervous for him?
I absolutely was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's unfathomable that not only did he survive that, but he is the person that we interviewed yesterday
mm-hmm.
who is grateful and thriving and generous and sweet and kind,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
So our time's just about up. If you could just let us know or talk to us just a little bit about how you guys sometimes get together for lunch. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Lunch, sometimes dinner.
Yeah.
It's really hard just because of our schedules and how far I live.
Yeah.
And our schedules, again, you know, because he loves the family. He wants to get together with the family all the time.
Right.
And he doesn't mind getting together with me, obviously,
yeah.
but he does love the whole entire family.
Right,
it's
right.
Pretty awesome.
He wants everybody.
He wants all or nothing.
Yeah.
He does. And so the last time we met was, I mean, as a family,
mm-hmm.
was at a Mexican restaurant in Colton or something, and it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It was before you know, before COVID.
Right.
Obviously. I have had lunch with him before, you know, since COVID.
And, yeah, yeah.
You know, I got to keep a mask on because, you know, we can't take a chance of him getting, you know, infected. But I love getting together with him. And every time I do, he just, you know, he lifts me up.
Yeah, that's so dope.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. And Richard, I think that's where we will end. But I cannot thank you enough.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much.
Not just for this, but for what you did. We need more people like you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we really do. Thank you.
All right. Well, Scott, Laura, you guys have a blessed day. I will talk to you later.
Thank you, Richard.
Bye, Richard. Thank you for listening to The Only One in the Room. Please join us each Tuesday and Sunday for an incredible brand new Only One interview. And every Friday for On My Nightstand, where I'll be reading something that I love. If you have an Only One story you'd like to share, or a piece of writing you'd like to submit, please send it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com. From all of us at The Only One in the Room, we wish you dopeness, health, and prosperity.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.